Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Talk about foundations. Hallelujah. Foundations. Matthew chapter 7 and from verse 24 all the way to 27. Matthew 24 all the way down to 27. Hallelujah. The word of God says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was his fall. Today, I want us to briefly consider the cost and the price of laying a good foundation. Our Lord Jesus was speaking to us here, and for those of you that are here, including everyone who is connecting online, I want you to pay attention. Don't engage with God's word as though you are singing a song. When you sing a song, the peak of that experience is that you can get emotional, because the songs can have very powerful beats, or you know, you just like the flow of the song. Some of us like jazz music. Some of us love instrumentals. For some reason, we just like the songs that we like. There was a time somebody said to me in this church, Pastor, let us dance. Hey, worship is good, but let us dance. So when the noise became so much, I said, let us dance. But some of us don't know how to dance, so you please give us, don't push us down when you are trying to, you know. And then we try to allow that. But as wonderful as that was, after a while I noticed that the intensity of the glory started coming down. So one day, I just told the choir, thank you very much. Let's go back to worship. I think, with exception of maybe one or two churches that I know, there could be others. First being the Living Faith Church. The second being the church pastored by my friend, Chintok. I really don't know any other church that has a good blend that, like, praise, you know. Even in Jos, when they sing praises, you will still be feeling the anointing. Here, when we, in Lagos, when we sing praise, all the dance steps of the world, we enter the church. So, I'm not comfortable, yeah? So permit me. In my former church, we only sing hymn. And the church is full. And nobody's complaining. So, is this not to say that, I'm just trying to say that people like different things. Just because I like worship, because worship helps my gift. Eh? If you want me to prophesy to you, don't sing some songs. It's easier for me to hear the Lord when the song is a bit still and calm. My spirit is able to engage. So if you play Emilayemi, like father, like son, Mofeda, be father, and be Jehovah, to Beloru. Now, Now, that's just for you to know that I know. That's just so some of you are saying this man. No. We are together. So it's a Christian song. This song we used to way back from campus. So some of you, you know the song? So you see now. It's, I didn't manufacture the song. So, but I think it was Midnight Crew, exactly. So, but if I want to enter God's presence, I will not use that song. Or you can say, Fuji sounds of heaven, Sheruba won. It's Fuji sounds of heaven, Sheruba won, Shon flow. So I'm just trying to tell you that we are all there. I love Ayefele because of his, there's a way merrymakers, you know. But I'm trying to tell you that when it has to do with God's word, we engage differently. There's only one requirement when it has to do with God's word that is needed. It's obedience. The other would have been taking heed. That means when God is speaking to you, he doesn't want you to get emotional. He wants you to calm down and listen to what he's saying. Because most likely, you have not heard him. You heard what he said, but it has not entered your spirit. That also happened to Peter when Jesus said to him, you will deny me. And he started arguing. Now, to be fair to Peter, do you think he would have done what he did? Do you think he would have denied Jesus? On a good day, the Peter you know that left his business to follow, do you think he would deny Jesus? He was enchanted. He was enchanted. No, he used to be enchanted. He was manipulated. The warfare came from a woman. Forget that you are the next in command to Jesus. That's why as a man of God, you should be surrounded by men. Yes. Be surrounded by men. When we are in Catholic Church, you cannot see a Reverend Father alone in the personage. You will see one other priest or what they call those guys that are in training. You will see, the priest must be a crook for him to be alone. He must mean to meet with you alone for it to happen. Because you cannot stay with him in that house. In fact, there is a, do you know that even if you see your Reverend Father playing ball outside, you must not forget he's your Reverend Father. You cannot forget. You are even privileged that you are seeing him playing ball with you. God wants us to understand the rules of engagement. The first one is that when he's talking, slow down. Don't assume you know what he's saying. You might have heard it before. Psalm chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The moment you start helping him to finish the scripture, you are reciting it for him. It's already clear you don't understand what he's saying and you are going to goof. The things that destroy great men are very little things. And most times they are not in the area of power. They are in the area of deception. Please note that if you have your writing material. Satan will never fight power with power. He will fight it with deception. The moment he can get you to be self-deceived, to believe that it cannot be you, that you cannot fall, you are gone. The second requirement is obedience, which means that when the Lord has spoken to you, what you need to be asking yourself is, how can I go ahead with what the Lord has said? Let me add one third factor. Receiving the grace for obedience. Because it takes the grace of God to obey God. Which means after God has spoken to me, I need to go back to him and say, Father, help my unbelief. Many of us, you and some of you work in offices and, you know, or businesses, you will know that many times when you had issues, it was not that you didn't know what you were supposed to do, but somehow the thing just didn't work. Many people who have failed in life, in their offices, in ministry, it was not because they didn't know the right thing. But you see, if God wants to punish a man, he will not take away the gift, he will take away the grace. Judas was an anointed betrayer. It was an anointed betrayer. It was among those that Jesus sent out, and they rose the dead, they cleansed lepers, they did so many things. But he didn't have stamina to resist temptation. And the weakness in his life was money. So if you have a particular weakness in any area, don't pray. That's where Satan will come through. As long as Satan convinces you that you can never grow out of this weakness, and you are listening to people saying, no man is perfect. No man is perfect. It's not possible to walk and your head will not be shaking. As long as those are the kind of pastors you are listening to, you will never grow out of that weakness. It is better for you to say, Lord, this area of my life, if you pray 3 hours, use 30 minutes to talk about that one. Father, I need your grace. If I stand, it will be because of you. Father, I cannot boast that if I see Chioma now, I will survive. Lord, help my unbelief. Call your weakness by his name. Don't call it weakness. Call it sin. Call it sin. And when you find that you are in a place where your foundation is so weak, it cannot hold, shout. Ask for help. Let's look at our scripture again. In verse 24, Jesus said, whosoever hears these words of mine and does them. That means Jesus already made provision for disobedience. Jesus knows that most people, including those who come to church, they don't have the mind to obey. Some people only have a mind to obey God when they are in trouble. And they are saying, God, if you can save me, I will serve you. And God saved them, and they still did not serve him. So I sometimes feel for God. I think he probably has a very stony heart now, because the kind of heartbreak that he gets from his own children, Satan doesn't give him. God, if you can do this thing. God, I'm not asking for too much. I just want a job. Just a job. Then you got the job. Then you start listening, say, but really, let's be honest. Bosayo, where is it in the Bible that we should pay tithe? No, I'm not against it. I just want to know. Yeah, you. By the time you know what you want to know, you would have gone far. But initially, that was not your problem. Your problem was, God, take away this shame from my life. So Jesus said, if any man hears these words of mine, they are my words. They are my words. Even if you are reading this thing 2,000 years after, they are still my words. Others will come, like the multitude that came to Jesus, only looking for food. They came, but they all came for different reasons. Like, so we are all here now, but we are all here for different reasons. So the question is, if only a remnant will be saved, what is the guarantee that you will be counted worthy? Jesus said to him in the book of Revelation, say that overcometh. He didn't say that he saved. Say that overcometh. To him will I grant to eat of what? The tree of life. That means there will be people in heaven that will not have access to it. Because they will be foolish virgins. So the secret is not a hidden one. It starts from Matthew chapter 7. He said, if you hear these words of mine, and I'm saying this because I talk to a lot of pastors. A lot of pastors are scared of telling their members the truth. Because they will go. Have you seen the weakness in the kind of faith we practice today? The weakness, like everybody is weak on the same level. We are all battling with the same thing. We are all struggling with the same thing. Nobody can talk about sin again, because from pulpit to pew, everybody is guilty. And even when somebody wants to confess, they will tell him, you want to confess? Do you know what the person you want to confess to is doing? There's a sense of sin, not righteousness. The church that Paul pastored, they were also having issues, but they were addressing it. Jesus said, look, If you listen to what I'm telling you and you do it, you practice what I'm telling you. He said, this is who you are in the spirit realm. You are a house that is built on a rock. Now, the house that is built on a rock is not as though you see a hill and there's a building on it. Like a building of visibility. That's not what Jesus meant. If you read the original context of that scripture in the Greek, what it means is that the builders, this house is by the ocean, or by an area that has waters. So because you will notice there were three attacks on that house. There was the rain, there was the flood, and there was the wind. Three attacks. And it will come for everybody. Are you with me? Are you with me so far? They are not talking again. That, okay, are you with me? So this house, this life, this person that says he is following Jesus is like a building that was being erected beside the ocean or beside a river, a riverine area, a waterlogged area. So what Jesus was saying is that those who constructed that foundation, because of the nature of that place, they had to keep digging the foundation, digging the soil, till they got to the rock that is in the ground. There's a rock inside the ground. Sometimes when you see some of these outside men who dig wells, they will tell you that they will keep digging until they get to where the rock is, because the water there is what? Purest. Jesus is the water of life. The only reason why the flood will not take you is because there is water in your foundation. This is the water of life. Jesus being the nourisher of your foundation. You have to keep digging. You can dig foundation for 15 years. That you are born again for 10 years doesn't mean you are matured. Have to dig. Because for every layer of truth, there is a foundation needed for it. The faith needed to give your life to Christ is not necessarily the same faith that you need to enter into the gift of the Spirit. Because somebody is telling you, what do I need to be saved? Believe in your heart and what? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you shall be what? Saved. But to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, you must take that faith and advance it. That it is possible for spirits to be talking through you. You have to be moved to the point where not only is Jesus living in your life, but he can talk through you. Do you know that is what speaking in tongues means? That the Spirit of God in you is giving expressions to divine words, divine mysteries. And that's why when you speak in tongues, you must not do it in the flesh, because it is possible to speak in tongues carnally. I just said something. It's possible to speak in tongues carnally. So Jesus said we must look at the foundation. So when you dig the ground and you get to the rock inside the ground, not the one that is on... that one at the mountain behind your father's village. Behind your father's village house. This one is in the ground. Nobody will see it except the person who is digging the foundation. That is where they will put the cornerstone. They will lay the foundation on that rock. Because the external environment of that land cannot hold that block. It will sink. So if you dig your ground and you say... we are tired. We've been digging for 3 days. Nobody will know. We'll put the block and we cover it. The rain may not fall for 6 months. The rain may even fall, but it will survive for 3 years. Then when the Lagos State government will come and say, oh, we are expecting flood this year. You see, it is the floods and the rain that will test everybody's foundation. What Jesus was telling Peter is that this attack that is coming, you don't have what it takes to overcome it. That's what he was saying. Instead of Peter to have relaxed to say, ah, sir, but how will I deny you? We have been here since morning. Have I ever done it? What's happening? Master, tell me more. Begin to pray prayer of inquiry. Where is this attack coming from? Peter was talking. If you are too quick to talk, the chances of surviving spiritual attacks will be very low. If you talk too much, if you are not able to stay back and observe what is you are looking at, there's a code in the prophetic that is called the prophetic code of focus. We use it in the prophetic. When the Spirit of the Lord is moving and we are prophesying, we can be staring at somebody for like a minute. And as we are staring, we just begin to know things. It's called the principle here is whatever you focus on will be amplified. That's the principle. So if I keep looking at a thing, the spirit or the nature of that thing will start manifesting. And you should try it. Maybe there's somebody in your office and you really don't know who is this. This person is like, you can't read the person. Person is there, but there's something about this person. You can just be looking at the person. Not with this eye, so the one inside. You will see things. Go and try it. No, most prophets will not tell you because this is our selling point. But me, so I've given you something today. Try it. Look around. When you will be seeing more angels if you use these things. I'm telling you, you will be seeing angels. You will be sensing things like, wow. You will now start noticing some of those very quiet things people do that look like they are random. They are not random. Because now you are paying attention. Just the same way you can be looking at a lady and you start lost. It's the same way you can look at somebody and your spirit to become active. You start seeing things about them. That this one, don't tell this one your secret. It's not a good friend. But physically speaking, there's nothing on that person that shows that person is like that. So it's called the prophetic code of focus. Foundations are very important. And Jesus was saying, look, there's no point trying to do something so great for me or trying to live a glorious life if you don't have the foundation that can carry what you are doing. A lot of us are asking for visions. We're asking for blessings for which our foundation is not strong enough to carry. So if the Lord, for instance, has just blessed you and you got a new job or you got a new opening or something great that you didn't expect happened to you, the first thing you should be asking is, what kind of foundation do I need to now sustain this new level? People will come to the altar and share testimony. I didn't have a job last week. This week I have a job. I'm earning $5,000. Excuse me. Thank God for the testimony. But do you have the foundation to sustain it? Please, are you with me now? Hello, are you with me now? So, I'm interested in this scripture because from what Jesus said, most people will not listen. That's what Jesus is saying. So, let's not sugarcoat it. Can we be honest with ourselves? 50% of the people here right now may not be listening. They are hearing me, but they will forget. They are forgetful hearers. So, I want you to be jealous over your destiny. And one of the ways to do it is to pay attention to God's word. Because God's word has no emotion. God will back his word. God will back his word wherever it is found. If the word is found in your heart, God will back it. If it's found in your mouth, God will empower it. But if his word is found only merely on your lips, it's not enough. Don't have a romantic relationship with God. Have a covenant relationship. Hallelujah. So this building will be placed on the rock. And this rock may not just be your spiritual life. It may be a major decision you are about to make in your life. Some people will say, oh God, take my spirituality, but my finance, don't talk about it. I will see you anytime I'm ready. There are some people who maybe, it can be any area of your life that you just think, oh, this area, I want to have control. I want to be in control. I want to be in control. But you see, God knows the area you are hiding from him. Satan knows the area. The day they open your file, they will not go to the area of your strength. They will test the area of your weakness. Even though Elijah was very anointed, But Elijah was not very good with women. And Elijah was not somebody who enjoyed threats, even though he loved threatening others. Elijah threatened the king. I said, there will be no rain. And even though he could do that because both the king, who was Ahab, and the worst king ever in Israel, the king was Jewish. So the king understood the ministry of a prophet. So the king, even though he was a bad guy, couldn't touch him. But Jezebel was not Jewish, which means she didn't send him. So sometimes it's good to also know where your prophetic authority starts and ends. There are some people, even if I know what God is saying, I will not tell them. Let them go and suffer. Because my authority does not extend there. It doesn't extend. And even if I tell you, you won't listen. So it doesn't matter. I'm not everybody's pastor. Even though everybody calls me pastor, but I'm not. It's just a sign of respect. If you are not a member of the Harvest Assembly, I'm not your pastor. So, God has allocated many shepherds in the body of Christ. Find yours. Yes. It makes the work easy. And the pastor too can live a long life. And stop trying to be a hero. Or trying to solve everybody's problem. For which you don't have. If I know somebody is rebellious and he comes to me, I'll tell him to go back to his pastor. Yes. So that I won't be entrenching his rebellion. Because in his mind, his pastor is not anointed. Pastor Benga is anointed. So, hey, I'm not anointed though. It's even your pastor that is praying for me. So, go back to him. Many times we build faulty foundations and establish faulty foundations because we are not paying attention to God. We know what the word of God is saying about this matter. Do not be unequally yoked. If you decide to be unequally yoked, the judgment that follows such will go with you. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your first fruit and with your tithe. It's not because God needs your money. It's because wherever you spend your money is a sign of what you worship and what you honor. What you feel most important to give your money to first is a reflection of where your God is. So it's not about the money. It's about what you truly honor. They don't spend money in heaven, but money has meaning on earth. All right? So that is the way it works. Hallelujah. Foundations are very important. Now, still looking at this scripture, when you place your foundation on the rock, you cover it up with sand. Whether you built your foundation on the rock or you built it on sand, nobody will know until the storm comes, until the rain comes. Which means if you lie to everybody, you only deceived yourself. Because every storm is tailor-made. Every attack is tailor-made for you. Every flood that will come against you was designed specifically for you. And the goal is to bring you down. The devil doesn't go anywhere if he doesn't intend to bring you down. Hallelujah. So you must understand that there's no good devil. There's one film I saw on Netflix, The Good Witch or something. Good Witch. Is it White Witch or Good Witch? Good Witch. So there's no good witch. There's no good witch. And even the prophet self, it depends on where you meet him. Elijah that led people back to God was the same one that said, kill the 400 prophets. So when you interact with the spiritual, you have to be very careful. Many times, Satan doesn't even have to worry about many of us because already from the foundational level, we are destroyed. It's just a matter of time. Today, I want to encourage you to pay attention to your foundation. Pay attention. I want you to look at yourself. That if God decides to bless you today, will you last? Now, how do we know the quality of a man's foundation? We look at his decisions. What kind of decisions are you making? Please don't forget, foundations can speak. The Bible says that when I would have healed Ephraim, then a sin was discovered. Do you know who Ephraim is? That's the son of Joseph that the father elevated. He elevated Ephraim to become his, to become the brother of his father. So Joseph, Isaac gave birth to Ephraim, but the father said, from today, don't call him father again. Call him brother. Brother. I'm trying to say it in Calabar. You say it, you can you imagine my own son? Say, bro, what's up? Of course, if my son, Joshua, if he turns 25, can call me bro. Because it doesn't mean I won't still beat you if you misbehave. But we are friends. Eh? At that level, Joshua is my friend. You can say, bro, I just say, yo. Just say, what's up? How far? How's school? Yeah. But you must still respect me. But we are friends. Eh? But don't... But just let your head be correct. but I can allow that. Eh? I can allow that. But not now, because he's here now. No, if you try it, you try it, you're in trouble. So a day will come, your children will become your friends. Uh-huh. Now, this particular, there were three attacks. There were three attacks that came against that. Those, there were two buildings. And Jesus told us that these things, these two buildings are people's lives, two different people. And he said, the first, please give me that scripture. There was rain, there was flood, and there was wind. These are three levels of attacks that can come against a believer. Now, if you are thinking about the rain, if you find yourself under the rain, most times, what are you looking for? An umbrella, right? You are looking for a place of safety, okay? Because most likely, you don't want to be drenched. How many of you have ever got into the office drenched before in Lagos, like you were baptized in the Holy Ghost? You left your house wet, got to the office drenched. Then when they put in front of your computer, you could not even touch it because you had to go to the back office. Like you are putting your hands under the dryer. As if it is the dryer that will make you dry. Jesus. Sometimes I think it happened to me once that I got to the office. Like, I'm not usually a late comer, but you know these things happen. And you are drenched. But when you saw all the customers and clients waiting, I said, Kai, my boss, like, Benga, get behind that thing. Just cleaned my hands. Well, it was raining. Everybody kind of appreciated the gesture, you know. I just went, Benga _ S, bam, tap. Maryland at 522 star. If you like, go and try that password. You know, error. Before I came here, I've changed that password. But you know, at that moment, my boss was not even bothered about me. Tucking my shirt. It's well dressed. I was there drenched. They just put on the AC on my head. They brought me a cup of tea. Once we dispatched everybody, I got up, walked away, and stood in the sun. Came back. In like 2 hours, I was fully dried. In fact, my clothes now look like it's touched. But you have those days. When the rains come, most times they will come on a day you are not ready. The reason why you realize the rain is because you probably forgot your umbrella, or the brother that normally drops you off at the office didn't show up, or you are at Obalende. No. Costain roundabout. There are some places where if the rain gets to you there's no hiding place. Or Marina Road. If you're on Marina Road, just in front of First Bank head office, and there's a lot of traffic, and no, all the buses are filled, so you're just standing there like a chicken under heavy downpour, you will know the value of "and the rains descended." That means this thing has happened at a day for which you have no covering. You have no provision. There's no preparation. The day the rains will come, it doesn't matter how your foundation is, you will not know. You will not be ready. So the issue, the matter of getting your foundation solid, rock solid and ready, as a result of listening to God's word and becoming accountable and allowing people speak into your life and living your life under the government of God's word, is because the day the rains will come, you will not be ready. It may come on a day where your boss has offended you and you don't have what it takes to resist that offense, but the rains will come. You feel as though you are exposed. All the people you thought will speak for you will refrain. Jesus said, if you listen to my words, you will be insulated. He didn't say if you have prayer life. He said, if you listen to me. So a lot of people are praying, but they are living in disobedience. Prayer is good. Most important is what? Obedience. You cannot obey God in a wrong way. Obedience is obedience. But you can pray in a carnal way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm speaking to young people today. And what I'm sharing with you, when I speak to some older people, 60 years, and I have meetings with them, some of them are very wealthy people. And they are telling you their problems. You can trace it most of the time to what? Foundation. It's not what they are doing now. It's something they did before. And the problem with foundation is that if the foundation be destroyed, so what that means is that it's possible that you can have a building like this and Satan has destroyed the foundation. The building is standing on sand. But you will not know. It's one thing for a foundation to be weak. It's another thing for it to be destroyed. That one is a satanic onslaught. When you are the one who say you are prophecy, they don't care. They will remove your foundation. Because as long as you are not a committed follower of Jesus Christ, I didn't say you are singing or dancing. I said you committed follower by reason of building your life on this word. Some people cannot preach without saying, my pastor said, hey, slow down. Open the book. Even if it's Jehovah's Witness Bible, open it. Start from there. And be reading. So, just start from somewhere and be reading. Some of you like Proverbs. Start from Proverbs. Some of you like Song of Solomon. Okay, start from there. Just start. As you are seeing, be obeying. Obedience has no emotions. The issue of foundation is the issue of obedience. It's not the issue of I love worship song, I love Rapala, I love this thing. And a lot of Christians do not realize that for God to claim ownership of you, it is because he sees you as a man who listens to him and obeys him. If not, you are the one claiming God, he's not claiming you. On the day of trial, when he cast, Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. Quickly, let me round up in 5 minutes. Are you blessed this morning? This is just a summary or an introduction to this message, but maybe we will come back and still look at this issue again. Please, I want you to consider that the issue of this foundation, counting the cost, is so important. You don't just start a project and you just assume that by faith. The project of your life, of your destiny, you have to sit down and ask yourself, do I really want to follow Jesus? We have a lot of people who are coming to church, but they are strangers to God. They have no plan to follow Jesus. They have no plan to carry their cross. They like you when you are telling them, Holy Ghost fire, burn my enemy. But they don't, when you tell them, they price the for following Jesus, the cost of following Jesus, then you begin to have problem with them. The cost. What following Jesus will cost you. This, for you to say you're a Christian, you must be able to look back and say, oh, from here to here to here to here, I suffered because of my decision to follow Jesus. If I didn't, if not for Christ, I would have done this, I would have made this, made this, made that. They may not even necessarily be bad things, but simply because your master, the lover of your soul, says no. No. If you like, fast and pray for anointing from today to next year. Eh? God will not anoint you above your level of obedience. Give me that scripture. For which of you intending to build a tower? Sorry, what is he trying to build? Does this look like a two-bedroom flat? I think we have one tower opposite us here. Now, I don't know how many floors they have there. Who has an idea? Huh? Maybe like 16 or 20. Now, do you know that land you bought at Ibafo, that you have been building for 25 years, that you didn't roof, this one, that glass building, the window level alone to the foundation of that place, window level of the first of the ground floor, could have finished your house. Because what they need to put into the ground for it to qualify as foundation alone can build your two bedroom and roof it and paint. The level of concrete work. Now, if I am told that, Pastor, we were praying and we had a vision that there's a pastor in this facility, the Lord said we should hand over this property. And I say, I'm the one. I say, hallelujah. Are you Pastor? Because the Lord told us his name starts with G. I say, I'm G. Now, when they come to me, I'll just say, Tina. Where is Tina? Where is Brad James? All those who know about property, they should go. Because me, now pray, they pray. I don't even know the kind of document to ask for. Oh, yeah, Shiwaju. I'll call Pastor Tokwe. Check lands, Ministry of Lands. Whether this thing is genuine. So before I go and fight with my landlord and say, where are you? I'm not staying here again. Let me be sure that this place is authentic. And I'll get there. Hallelujah. As I say, I demand, I say, Nida, are you the owner of this place? Nida, where's my holy ororo? And I anoint you and say, go forward. Before you start doing all those ones. Maybe as I was going there, Tina, who knew when that project was being built, just said, sir, are you the pastor that is coming? I say, yes. I say, Pastor, please, can I see you? I say, God bless. What's your name? Why are you not coming to our church? You live here. I'm Reverend. Say, Pastor, leave all this one. I want to talk to you. I was the person who was supposed to supervise this work. But they had to fire me. Because I told them we needed 700 bags or 1,000 bags of cement for foundation alone. And they brought another person who said 400 is enough. That's why they fired me. The foundation of this house is not strong. But when you look at the outside or the external, you can see the glass. It looks fine. Like, wow. I'm already imagining my office on the 16th floor. And it's even a seat. Excuse me. A 20-story building. Can you fix the foundation? You have to bring it down. If it's a 3-bedroom flat, you can still manage. Because you can look around, dig around, patch it, cement, plaster. But 20 story, who wants to go there? Say, Tina, say, sir, I don't know you, but in my own church, we are told to tell the truth. This foundation is not okay. By the time I get there, oh, you are welcome, sir. I will begin to see the man giving me that gift as an agent of Satan. He was sent to destroy this work. He was sent to put the lives of innocent people on my head. Blood. Some of you don't know I can curse. That's the day you know. I'll curse his father, curse his mother, curse his seventh generation. Because, like, how determined can Satan be? Just because it's a good gift doesn't mean it's God's gift. You need discernment. You need discernment. They don't package destruction. Jesus said, who amongst you who wants to build a tower will not first... He didn't say buy cement. He said, sit down. Sit down. What do you know? What you are looking at the 16th story when it's finished. Me, I'm looking at before you start. Do you have 1,000 bags? See, we are doing it by faith. Go and sit down. Go and sit down. Go and sit down. Well, we do, it's not faith we need. We need 1,000 bags. We need granite. We need stone. We need water. We need iron rod. We'll do casting. We'll do... Okay, this boy. He's seen 16 story. He's not seen the what it will take. He said, give me that scripture. He said, is there any man among you who wants to build a tower? Does he not sit down? Jesus said, go and sit down. You are going to say, Tina, want to do it. If anybody, the day I call you Tina and tell you that I want to build 16 story, ask me, have you sat down? Pastor, have you sat down? I said, well, God has asked Pastor. Have you sat down? Have you sat down and counted the cost? Jesus said, if I'm building a house, I should count the cost. What of when is my life? What if my life? Before you marry him. It may be good for you today. Will it be good for you tomorrow? Is it someone that falls in love and falls out of love as led by the Spirit? You need to check. If there's a challenge in your marriage tomorrow, will she stay? Will he stay? If you lose your job, will she stay? Maybe who she loves is your father, who is a friend of Dangote, and not you. Wealth can develop wings and fly. When somebody tells you he loves you, look, operate the prophetic code of focus. He won't know you are watching him. Just be watching him. You will see something. You will see something. You will just be on a date one day. Or, sorry, whatever that is. You will be somewhere at Mr. Biggs. Where do people go now? In those days, it was Mr. Biggs. I don't think guys are even spending their money again. Wherever it is that... Where do you people go these days? Those of you... Somebody is saying something now. The place is like it's Mr. Biggs now. Please, if you are in this church as a brother, never take a lady to the place. If I hear, you'll be suspended. Look for somewhere that where we can even consider you and say, okay, I'll marry you. The place. Is that the place the Lord has said? Don't look for my trouble. Go and look for, if you don't have money, come, let's gather money for you. Don't go to the place. Look for somewhere that you know you can have a proper conversation. Not where she'll be using this thing every time to be cleaning sweat. The place. This is the place that I've told you. Where all your needs shall be met. That city of refuge. It's not. That's the city of refuge. That's Harvest Word. It's not. Don't take your wife there. No. You use 10 minutes to shout, where's the food? Where's the food? Where's the food? On top of it's my ATM I want to use. Madam, what's the matter? And I say, we are still calculating. This other place, they will bring the bee. But when you see it, you will shout hallelujah. Even the paper, they will add the cost of the paper to the bee. They'll print it out. 700,000. So pay your rent before you go. Jesus said we should count the cost. That means this is an error most people will commit. A lot of people will go into very important activities assuming that everything will be all right. Why Jesus said to them, count the cost. Say if any man wants to follow me, let him leave his father and mother. That's the price. That you must be willing. In case tomorrow you have to stand against your parents because of your love for Jesus, you must think about it that the day can come when your mother will say, go to and do this thing, or your dad will say, go on, and that thing will be expressly written in the word of God that do not do it. The word of God says, do not read the stars. Do not study the stars. Is then the word of God? Maybe they say, I'm Taurus. I'm Scorpio. Someone say, you know, that's the way we Scorpio are. Eh, I thought you're a new man in Christ. I thought you're a new man in Christ. Say, I'm choleric. Say, do not study the stars. Anything that gives you a sense of identity outside what Jesus has said is not your own. Sam Sagitaros. I'm Leo. Say, count the cost. Please, let me tell your neighbor, count the cost. Now, to count the cost, it is not a process that you rush. And I'm saying this, whether it has to do with any area of your life, it's not something you rush. Oh, you have to tell me, give me my answer now. I will not give you your answer now. If you want to die, go and die. I want to marry next year. If you are the one, I want to know now. Is it you that wants to marry me? Or are we getting married to each other? Please, go and sit down. Go and, let me go and count the cost. If you tell him you want to count the cost and he still forces you, already you know it's of the devil. A lot of people who are listening to me or who will listen to this message may not really make a mistake as it has to do with their spiritual life, but they will not count the cost as it has to do with other areas of their lives, like who they do business with. They'll say, no, this business, pastor, he has the experience. He knows what he's saying. Do you know his altar? Do you know his altar? There was a governor that won election in one state in this country. When he won, they took him to the Oba's palace and asked him, now that you have won, let us initiate you so that you'll be fortified. And the governor said, I believe in Jesus. So I believe in Jesus. I cannot be a cultist. Then they asked him, the Oba asked him, so if the opposition party or your enemies, they attack you tomorrow, can you call Jesus once and he will answer you? Whether it's government, family, education, finance, those institutions are their government seats. There are principalities that sit there. It's not for weak people. It's not for people who don't understand the cost. I want to sit down on a throne like this, casually. Say, count the cost. A lot of problems, prayer points can be avoided if we count the cost by putting Jesus first. Come on, say, put Jesus first. So it's not an emotional decision. It's a spiritual one. It's a spiritual one. And peradventure are listening to me and you've made some mistakes in the past. You can begin to correct your decisions, previous decisions, by making right ones. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, my time is done now. But maybe I will still come back because there are still a few scriptures. And I still need to explain Matthew chapter 7. And maybe we'll come back to this some other time. Now, let me read one more verse. Verse 28 of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. The word of God says, and so it was when Jesus had ended his sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They were able to recognize his authority, but they did not recognize him as one to be obeyed. And shortly after them, this same nation put their Lord on a cross and they killed him. Even though he fed more than 20,000 people in one day, and more than once he fed thousands of people. But on the day the Holy Ghost came, only 120 was found. It is not to him that willeth, nor to him that runneth, but of the Lord that gives mercy. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We ask for the mercy that overcomes. We ask for the grace to be stable. and the grace to be strong. None of us will be missing. None of us will lose our place. In the name of Jesus, we are asking for everyone who is listening right now that, Lord, you will help us and help us to begin to fix our foundations. In any area where we have missed it, we are asking for grace this morning. And we pray that, Lord, as a reason and the result of this message, many lives will be restored back to you. And that when we see you in the day of your revealing, you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. We thank you, our Father, and we receive with humility that which you have spoken. In Jesus' mighty name.